after this meditation, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26, I'm going to start with that first communion when Christ instituted this very, very vital part of our worship. And we're going to look at what he says and what that should mean to us this morning. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word. And now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave unto them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine, until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, which, by the way, is precedent for our always closing communion with a hymn. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I want to preach this morning on you need to eat. And I can say we need to, but just for emphasis' sake, you need to eat. I also want to say before we pray, I appreciate all those that participated in our watch night service. And we had 4 exhorters, and they really challenged our hearts for the year ahead. And I don't want anyone to miss out on that. Those are in our archives, or you could get a CD from the back just to be challenged for the year ahead. Hallelujah. In 2 months, marks 35 years that I've been in the ministry, and I stand here today saying I realize my need of the Spirit more today than ever before. Let's pray for his help and his anointing. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. May it not just be another sermon, but may you do something divine, eternal, Lord. May, God, our hearts be warmed by your Spirit, talked to by your Spirit. May your word be a living thing. Reach beyond the boundaries of man's ability. Lord, reach into the core of our innermost being. Make what you have done, Jesus, make it real all over again and fresh and new. Strike us with what you desire to do in our lives and in our hearts. God bless the people who have come out on this day of bad weather. Bless them and help them and strengthen them, O God, and speak to them and encourage them and empower them. Lord, we close this prayer simply saying, we need you, Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen. You can be seated. You need to eat. I have to pay Micah for illustrations. My wife hasn't asked for a fee. She may start. But we joke, my wife, that for ever distress, ever sickness, ever problem, her answer, her response is, you need to eat. You need to eat something. Mom, I'm depressed. You need to eat. Mom, I don't feel well. You need to eat. Mom, I'm tired. You need to eat. Mom, I think I broke my arm. You need to eat. I'm glad she can back it up with what she fixes, too. As much as I feel that regular communion is necessary, I've sought tremendously in an effort here at the church that it wouldn't become an empty ritual because communion means something to our souls, not just our minds. Communion means something to our souls. You know, we often, with communion, we talk about the symbolism of the elements, the wine or the juice and the bread and what they stand for in Christ's death and how that relates to us. And they do. That symbolism is there. And we talk about the fellowship we have between brothers and sisters around the table. And we have that. But underlying the whole picture and point of communion is that it's the Lord's Supper. It's a meal, and it's a meal to be eaten, to take in not physical nourishment. It's a meal to take in spiritual nourishment and spiritual strength. I want us to believe that this morning, that in the partaking of these emblems, it's not an empty ritual, but we can take within us divine, spiritual nourishment, help, strength, and ability in the communion service this morning. You see, I feel weak. We're going to take communion. You need to eat. You see, I feel distant from the Lord. You need to eat. Amen. I feel like I'm unworthy. You need to eat. I feel like I'm stumbling. You need to eat. I just feel like I need something from God. You need to eat. This Lord's Supper is about taking in spiritual nourishment. My dad has often joked. He said, I used to think that I ate to live, and I discovered that I live to eat. And we joke about that, especially in America, but ultimately we do eat to live. And this communion, it's not just symbolism. We eat of it to spiritually live. Hallelujah. I just put it this way, and I'll move on. We need this communion supper this morning. We need what we will receive as we partake by faith. We need what God can do in our hearts if we partake with gratitude and thanksgiving. We need what this supper can do. We need to eat. I want to just briefly deal in this sense why Jesus gave communion. Have you ever wondered? Jesus had lots of meals with his disciples. Why was it this night that he decided to institute or to originate communion? All those other meals that he had shared with them, but why this night? Why then? Why right before his crucifixion? You can say, well, it was right before his crucifixion so he could make a connection between the communion and what he was about to do. And that may be. I believe that's a part of it. You say, well, it was right before the crucifixion because time was running out. After all, it was the last meal that he shared with them. And it had to be then that he shared this communion and told them that they needed to partake of it. But you see, it's more than that. It wasn't just that Jesus was running out of time. It wasn't just that he wanted them to make the connection between the symbols and what he was about to do in dying on the cross. I want you to really think about it. He gave communion because on that night, he gave communion at that hour simply because he knew his disciples were going to need it. They were going to face a night like they had never faced. All their dreams dashed. Fear and swords and nighttime and crucifixion. He gave that communion on that night because he knew his disciples would need the strength in their faith. He knew they would need the nourishment in their innermost person on the days ahead. They needed that communion that night for what they faced ahead. And I want to tell you, church, we need these communions. Not the empty symbolism, not the security of the tradition, of the ritual. But we need these communions for what they'll do in our souls if we'll partake by faith. I think it's fitting we have communion on the first of the month because we need it for the month ahead. I think it's fitting that we have communion the first Sunday of the year because we need it for the year ahead. How many knows everything you'll face this year? You know everything you'll face this year. How many has lived long enough that you're pretty sure you're just not going to float through the year with no problems, no troubles, no valleys, no dark places? You're just going to float through it. How many knows we need him? We need him. We need to eat. We need what this communion does. Amen. What is it that it does? I've already alluded to it, but we eat for nourishment. We eat for strength. We have two symbols. We have bread and drink. And bread strengthens the body, literally, physically, and drink satisfies the thirst. And it's same spiritually. Our souls need nourishment. We have bread. Aren't you glad there's a bread from heaven? Hallelujah. I like that. Where could I go but to the Lord? When my soul needs manna from above, needs bread from, where could I go? We need, that's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you'll eat of me, you'll have that life. We need the bread for the strength of the soul. We need the cup, amen, to quench the thirst of our hearts. Hallelujah. You say, well, he just gave them physical bread. They'd just eaten it during the supper. He just gave them physical bread. What made it different? What made it different is that Jesus blessed that bread. Jesus broke that bread. Jesus handled that bread. And I know this is just a symbol, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross, he has blessed the bread. He has broke the bread. He has handed the bread to, it's been in his hands. And I'm telling you, anything he hands you, anything he gives to you, anything that's been blessed by him, it'll feed your soul. It'll strengthen you. Oh, hallelujah. He handed it to them and he said, partake. You see, it has to be spiritual and not just about the physical body, but the inner person. They'd already taken a meal. They didn't need to eat more bread for their body's sake. They'd already drank at that dinner, that Passover supper. They didn't need to drink anymore for physical thirst. He did it after supper. After supper, he blessed the bread. Why? It goes beyond the physical. Oh, hallelujah. How many just real deep in your heart says, I need something beyond the physical. I need something beyond the physical. What I can hear, what I can see. I need, oh, glory to God. Amen. I know it may be one of our servers that passes this down the aisle this morning. But when you take it out of the tray, I want you to imagine what is true spiritually. Jesus has bless the bread. Jesus has break the bread, and he wants to feed your soul, feed your innermost being. Oh, some are here are in desperate straits. Things are going on in your minds and hearts and lives. For some it's darkness, others it's confusion, others it's temptations, others it's the pull of the world, other it's despair, and that's the condition, the weakness. But you need to eat. You need to, by faith, take that bread and say, Jesus, you are the bread of life. If you've ever fed one soul, you can feed my soul. Hallelujah. You see, he knew they needed what it provided. And I will be very short here, but I want you to really focus on three things this Lord's Supper can provide the inner man. First of all, it strengthens our faith. Our faith. How many knows your faith, the things we believe in, it can grow weak, brother. When you're under the barrage of attack, when you're under constant temptation and trial and the drudgery of life, and maybe you got the flu or whatever, your faith needs strengthened. But notice what he says here. When he handed that bread and the cup, he said, this is the bread and the cup of the new covenant. And I just want to focus on the word new. What he was saying is you can have faith. You're facing a fearful night. You're facing enemies. You're facing darkness. But I've got something new for you. And I want to tell you, on the brink of 2014, I know we've already begun it, but we're tired of the same old battles, the same old temptation, the same old struggles. But we can have faith, because when we partake the bread, he said he has something new for us. It was a new covenant. And this year, 2014, he's got something new for your heart, new for your life. I'm not talking about the new things of the world. I'm talking about a new step in our relationship, a new blessing, a new enlightenment, a new empowerment, a new perspective. Oh, he's the God of the new. It'll strengthen your faith if you partake it. Secondly, this partaking of communion, it assures us of His love. He said, this cup symbolizes my bread. The text I read, shed for many. And the parallel text, my blood shed for you. What love to make the ultimate sacrifice of giving His life. You see, when you partake of communion, I know how the devil works. Amen. I'm from the same planet you are. You did realize that? It's women that are from another. No, I'm joking. I'll take that back. We're all from the same planet. And how often through circumstances and difficulties and does the enemy come and try to reinforce in our minds, God doesn't love you. Isn't that interesting? We can believe He loves the rank sinner and we sit in church amongst His blessings and doubt He loves us. But when He handed that cup and says, this symbolizes my blood which is shed for you, how could they doubt His love for them? And when we hold this cup this morning, when we take one of these cups and it symbolizes His bread, His blood shed for us, it ought to remind us all over again, whatever the enemy says, however we may feel, He loves us. Could you lift your hand right now and say, thank you, God, for loving me. Oh, hallelujah. Here in a few moments, I'll hold the symbol that proves it. You shed your blood for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Communion strengthens our faith. It assures us of His love for us, but it also assuages our fears. There's no doubt in my mind that awful night and all the things that transpired, that the disciples' hearts were filled with fear. I mean, don't forget, one denied, one betrayed, and the rest fled on that fearful night when Judas came with the band of officers and soldiers with their lanterns and their swords. I mean, there's fear that night. Everything that they had put their faith in, their world, was crumbling. Amen. The soldiers were looking for them. I mean, we're hard on Peter when the damsel said, art not thou also one of His disciples? But he knew that they were looking for the disciples of Christ to imprison them and destroy them. I'm telling you, there was a lot of fear that night. That's why Jesus said, you've got to eat this. I know what's ahead. You're going to face fear. But as He instituted that, take this cup, eat this bread. Amen. He said, I'll not drink of this cup again until I drink it new with you in my kingdom. And we can extrapolate and say He's talking about when we eat together in heaven and forget that just a few days later, He that had been killed, He that had been crucified, He that had been laid in a tomb, He ate again with His disciples. They were out fishing. And He said, children, have you any meat? No. Cast on the other side. They cast, and the net is full of fish. He said, bring those fish to land. And when they got to land, there was fish and bread upon the fire. And He came just like at the communion, and He handed them bread, and He handed them fish. Oh, He ate it. What does it mean? I'll eat it new with you in the kingdom. He said, I'm going away. They're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. But when I'm lying in that tomb, don't you think that it's over with, because I'm going to eat with you again. I'm going to resurrect. I mean, you may have fears, but there's something on the other side of this night. I said, there's something on the other side of this darkness. The enemy has done his greatest damage, but He said, you're going to eat with me again. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You see, I have every reason to fear. You may. But He has promised there's another side. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. We have a year ahead. We need this communion. We need the faith. He'll do a new thing. We need the faith. We have His love. And we need the faith. He'll take away our fear. And last of all, who can really partake? And I know the quick answer is those that have been born again. We preach that, we teach that. Communion is for those who are saved. But that's a given. What I'm going to talk about briefly is for whom will this communion really mean something this morning? Who's really going to partake? First of all, it's for those who come to the table to be with Christ. And I don't mean this facetious. I just want us to think, why did you really come to church today? Why did you really come to the Lord's table? Was it to be with Jesus? Is it because there's something in your heart you crave fellowship with Him? You crave to hear His voice, feel His touch? I want to ask you something on a natural sense. Have you ever eaten at a table when someone was there, but they weren't there? How many can tell that? Someone's at the table, but they're not there. And again, Brother Norvell, you know how kind and lovable I am. I'm not being facetious. But I've seen that so many times at the communion. People were at His table. They were there, but they weren't there. Hearts somewhere else. Minds somewhere else. I remember a sermon I preached years and years and years ago, talking about the children of Israel. It said, in their hearts, they departed and went back to Egypt. If you read it, they never did go back to Egypt. I'm talking about in the wilderness. But it said, in their hearts. And I preached the message, folks' hearts leave before they ever do. Their body's still here, but their heart is gone from serving the Lord. And there are people at the table. They're there, but they're not there. But it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to just be marking time and say, well, you know, by the time we get to communion, that means service is about over and we'll get to go home. It doesn't need to be a mindless ritual. But it can be the time that we're really at the table and say, Lord, I need this meal. I need You to break the bread and bless it. I need to receive help in my heart, my faith. Secondly, this meal today, it's for those who really want to be there. I was leading into that. They want this. They're trying. They're trying to have help from God. They're trying to receive strength. And so they're here this morning, by faith, to receive that strength. This year, amen, I've got to thinking about this. And please, just take it for what it is. But I thought, I said, listen all over a bit. I thought, God, you know, so many times I'm trying to preach to get people, different individuals to care who don't care. And as I preach, it's in the back of my mind. And when I'm reaching out, all I can think about is they don't care. And I'm trying to get them to care. I'm trying to get them to see the truth. I'm trying to reach out to them. And I said, God, if You'll help me, I'm not going to do that this year. I'm not going to try to preach to those who don't care. I'm going to try to preach to the many who do care. And I think there are many today. You've come with the desire. You want to be here. You want to hold that bread and say, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, Lord. Let me drink until, amen. I'm going to preach to those who do care. They care for their souls. They care for spiritual things. They care about eternity. And wouldn't that change everything if folks just had an attitude? This isn't just communion. This isn't just something we do on the first Sunday of the month. But wouldn't it change everything if the attitude is, I want to be at this table. I want to share in fellowship with the Lord. I want something from heaven. I don't want to leave here with a barrenness of heart. I want to leave here having feasted at His table, tasted of His goodness once, and to know that the Lord, He is God, and there is none else. And Jesus is the lover of my soul. Then this meal is for those who will not miss being here. I know we have inclement weather, and so I'm not gunning for those folks. except the ones that were up to three or four last night on Facebook, then I'm gunning for you. But I want to ask a question. 12 disciples facing what they were going to face. What if one or two of them decided they didn't want to make that last Passover? What if it had been Peter or Andrew or John or Philip or Bartholomew or Nathaniel? You know what they just said? Well, you know, I don't think I'll go tonight. What if they had have missed that communion facing what they were going to face? You know, the truth of the matter is there's so many that aren't even at the table when Jesus passes the bread. Here, pass this on to Andrew. Lord, Andrew's not here. I've marveled. I don't know who orchestrates it, but I've marveled many times. You know, as pastor, you know people's deep needs, and get into a church service, and God has orchestrated that service to help them. From every song that's sung, from the message that's preached, from the way the Holy Spirit moves, you can just tell that service was for them. There's only one problem. Them aren't here. Jesus, break the bread. Jesus, bless the bread. Hand this, Peter, hand this to Philip. Okay, Lord. Jesus, Philip isn't here. Hallelujah. Then, it's for those who stay at the table. I want you to think this. I want you to really think about this. 12 disciples. Which disciple was the only disciple that didn't make it? The one that left the table. The one that left the table before Jesus actually initiated and explained this communion. I believe it's this important. It's this important in all it symbolizes. People that make it are people of the communion and what it stands for. They keep staying at the table. Stay at the table. Stay at the table. Stay at the table. But Judas went out. Judas didn't think of how that would affect him. He was going to do what he was going to do. He had money signs in his eyes. He had already given up. Here the Lord was going to give strength and faith, but he had already given up because his aspirations were material. His aspirations were fleshly. And when he realized this was a spiritual nature, he wanted nothing of it. He'd given up on it. Money signs in his eyes. That's why he left the table. Why? His aspirations wasn't more of Jesus. He didn't think of how that would affect him, what it would end like. He ended committing suicide. Who committed suicide? The one that left the table. You know, there's something you don't hear preached, something else. He never thought how it would affect Christ. I mean, if you read the scene, and I'm not going to take the time to get into it, but Christ's heart must have been crushed at one of his own. Amen. He just dipped the bread in the sop at the meal and gave it to Judas. And to know that one of his own, his chosen, would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. Judas never thought of the effect it would have on the Lord. You know, in the selfishness of people's minds, they turn from the Lord's table. They pursue the things of the world. They pursue the things of the flesh, never giving any thought to how that grieves the Lord who dies for them. Amen. He never thought how it affected himself or Christ, or how it affected the other disciples. To look up and Judas' place is missing. Judas is no longer at the table. Never thinking how that would affect the other disciples. Oh, I've just got one bit of advice for you. Stay at his table. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Stay at his table. It doesn't matter how strong the temptation is. Stay at his table. You need the bread. You you need the wine and you need the fellowship of the other disciples. And if anything tells you you don't need any of that, that's not God talking, that's the flesh and the enemy. We need this. You need to eat. And then it's for those who bring only themselves to the table. I want you to think, I know others cook, but moms, I want you to think how hard you work to provide a meal. You go out and get the groceries. You haul them back to the house, unload the trunk. You put them up in the kitchen. Later you take them out. You mix and you cook. You get it all on the table. You've worked hours all towed together. You call everybody to supper. And in the door comes an adult child with a KFC bag and sits down at the table and ignores your food and starts pulling out chicken wings from KFC. Moms, how would you feel about that? Amen. Do you think that was a little weak, but I know what you're thinking. Do you think the Lord might feel often like that when he's brought his own body and brought his own blood to the table, and people show up with bags of stuff of the world they prefer over spiritual communion? I really believe even this morning what you and I get out of sharing this meal with Christ is determined by what we brought to the table with us. Did you know a lot of things can nullify what happens at the table? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus trying to break, bless, pass the bread, and the disciples be on their devices? Hey, Andrew, take this. Just a minute. Take what? And that's just symbolic. It's what we bring to the table with us. I want to tell you, there's just one way to come to the table. Just bring yourself and a hungry heart, and you'll be fed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you come, music? Those will be singing. And I want to say, if you brought something to the table other than a hunger for God, there's a wonderful opportunity when the elements are being served. There's a wonderful opportunity to get rid of the other stuff that you brought to the table. I want to tell you, it may be sometimes that you have to put the little vial, and do we still have holders on the back of the pews? Put them in the little back holders there and put down your bread in a germ-free place and get up out of your pew and cross over to the other side of the church and say, brother, I'm sorry. I brought unforgiveness to the table. I brought bitterness to the table. There may be times before the elements get to you, or after they've gotten to you, before we partake, that you have to say, oh God, I've had a rotten attitude. Oh God, I've just had a wrong desire in my heart. I've been pursuing the wrong things. How many believes if we got rid of the, and this isn't against KFC, it's an illustration, but if we got rid of the KFC bags we bring to the communion table, we might really receive strength and help for our soul. Oh, let's let the Spirit move in this place. In just seconds, we'll begin to serve the communion. And may you hear over and over, I need to eat. I need to eat. I need to eat. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he was really concerned about a brother in his church. And he said, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know how bad it was until one Sunday morning we were having communion. And when the elements were served to this brother, he began to weep, and he just set those elements aside. He said at least he had enough in him that he wasn't going to partake if his heart wasn't right. And so he set the elements aside. And he said, I knew there was something really bad at that point. Amen. The sad thing is, he left them aside. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here that way this morning, and you realize, as the Bible says, if you partake of communion where you're at in your heart right now, you partake unworthily. But I want to ask you this morning, if that's you, then put those elements aside, not to leave them aside. Just put them aside figuratively or literally long enough to say, oh God, I shouldn't have brought this to the table with me. I shouldn't have done this. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Make my heart soft. Make my heart tender. Oh God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. Begin to pray and get it all right. And then when you partake of the bread, oh strength, spiritual strength, spiritual, when you partake of the cup, oh, I have had my soul quenched. You need to eat. Amen. Servers, would you come? Church, would you just stand for a moment? I want us to pray over the message and over the communion. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder how many just begin to be honest. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I need manna from above. I need my soul fed. I need my heart fed. I need spiritual strength and empowerment. Oh, come on, let's seek him this morning. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, God. I got to have it. I've got to have your help and your strength and your empowerment. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Let the words of God just be a part of your thinking this morning as we're wait to all be served and we'll partake together.
our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross.
Amen. Can we stand together? Again, I want us to believe at this supper. We do need this supper. He'll increase our faith. He'll strengthen us. He'll assure us of his love. And he will assuage our fears of the things ahead. Believe that. This is a symbol, but in partaking of this, Christ wants to do those things in our souls this morning. Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread? Oh God.
We praise your holy name, the name above all names.
Oh yes.
We take this bread that you give for us, O Lord, your body which is broken for us, that we may have a relationship with you and have a covenant with you and enjoy you forever. Amen.
Amen. Let's partake of the bread. Partake of strength. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Cruz, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Amen. Let's partake together. His love. Hallelujah. Oh, let's thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your great sacrifice. Thank you, the salvation we could not earn on our own. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, won't you receive strength right now in your soul? He'll take the fear away. Hallelujah. Be assured of His love. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pause for just a moment here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, strengthen right now. Strengthen in the heart. Strengthen in the mind. Strengthen in the soul. Oh, God. Oh, with Your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the kingdom's going forward. Be a part of that kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before they went out, they sang a hymn. Amen. Let's sing it again. Well, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank You, Lord, for making me whole. And thank You, Lord, for giving all to me Thy great salvation so full. Let's sing it one more time. Only You can sing this for Yourself. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. And thank You, Lord, for giving to me. Hallelujah. Thy great salvation, so full and would you like to thank Him one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, help Your people. Lord, strengthen Your people. Lord, enable Your people. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless Your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's also just good to be together. Will you greet your brothers and sister? Let them know you care about them. Amen.